Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the 1,242nd episode. The telephone number to listen in at the show is 323-870-4174. That is 323-870-4174. And please press number 1# to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio.com. www.blogtalkradio.com and type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Betts. That is PeripheralVisions, VISIONS, by BY, Antonia, ANTONIA, BATS, BATTS. Select either live shows or titles, and you can listen live to review even the previous shows. Tonight's show is titled Coronavirus, Coronapocalypse. It doesn't have to be that way. North and South America have much more work to overcome for the race against time to save lives and the economy of many citizens. Still, there are other countries that need the same mercy, especially the poor people. Also, PPE equipment. Why is there a shortage? Where is the previous surplus? And presidential nominees, what do you have to offer the United States citizens and other countries eventually? Plus, report on the second stimulus. Where is it now? Here is an update. Well, again, good evening, everyone. Especially here in the United States, it has been very difficult for some people to avoid the scare called coronavirus. It has presented to the world, let alone this country, a harrowing experience as well. People have been monitoring the situation for various reasons, but they would have to learn how severe the pandemic is. Don't think I haven't ran into some pessimists who are people that are, yes, they're very smart people, but they would totally disregard anyone who don't understand and portray very deadly disease, not only here in this country, but also in countries, especially like Brazil, just South America, period, what they're going through. It has just been reported that Israel, they are for the second time experiencing a surge, an upswing in the oncoming coronavirus. And of course, the representative over the country, he's very concerned that the economy are hard hit and they will suffer as this disease continue to plague the world and especially his country. So they're hanging in there as well. See, a lot of people don't understand that this is a deadly disease and not just a passing illness that is curable eventually, I hope, by the use of pharmaceutical drugs, hopefully, and hospitalization. There's a severe shortage of, again, here in the United States. But this will have to come all in time by the grace of God. Some people rely on information from other people who are in the public as well, just to keep them informed of where and how it is spreading, like myself and like you when you pass the information on. It doesn't hurt to pass on that information because discovering that what's referred to as per capita, in other words, throughout the population, there are some states here in the United States and cities that have an high number of infected or death rates coming out of all of this. Well, it is also known as COVID-19. We know it is no joke. Well, CNN News reports today that 37% have been tested in a particular region, and in that same region, 194% have died since the month of June last month. I personally know someone who went to Florida, which is one of the many states that has an unfortunate, remarkable surge. Surprisingly, but then again, not necessarily because there's Texas, Arkansas, California. They're among the top four, to my understanding. It fluctuates, but there's been a time when they said 26 states were suffering. Then it went up to a higher number than that, and it just lingers. Well, a week ago, and a couple of days before this person went to Florida, and before they were scheduled to return, I reminded them of what they can do to help protect not only themselves, and of course myself as well. I don't even want them to come by to greet me for a while. Sorry. But I remembered that I had to remind them that when they returned here to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, please try to avoid contact with anybody for about 14 more days. Yes, that includes their family members and the little ones as well. Because a lot of people see their timeline, which is not my prediction, but it was recommended by professionals in the medical field who estimated it is a possible time frame for knowing if they have it or if they can prevent it from spreading to someone else, especially if they're not sure, and especially if they have not been tested, if they have a reason to believe that they may need to just fall back in a way. So not to pick on Florida, but between the states of, like I mentioned, Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, and more, of course, and one time, or even presently, Arkansas, and even include West Virginia, up until like late last month, they were on the list of the most infected very recently, as I said. Now, being said, 35 states as of at least this past Monday, had seen a rise in this coronavirus because in the past week or two, according to the CNN report for July, a week ago, 13,220 people passed. Well, either way, they're still huge numbers. Now, before people are protesting in different areas, speaking of the general public here in the United States, all over this country, just a few weeks ago, actually probably a month, because they demanded that the states lift most of the medical cautionary warnings. So, of course, the governors and mayors and other representatives were pressured by these people in the public who may have, you know, the small businesses or who just wanted to get out and have fun. And they were pressured by those people who said it is affecting their ability to keep their businesses open so that they can economically survive. Well, it's always been said, you can't do anything if you're dead, so we have to discuss that as well. And the thought of people, just the thought of people who have flocked to the beaches, the boardwalks, the bars, the parks, and other places of entertainment, filled entertainment that just kept them going, you know, knowing that it will be a lack of protection unless they practice social distancing, unless they practice not going into the bars, but sitting in the outdoor cafes at the tables at a distance of 6 feet or more, unless they practice the wearing of masks, the relapse. A relapse in the numbers, hoping that the numbers will go down as a result of just making that sacrifice for however many months in the near future that they possibly can. They need to exercise, in other words, basic common sense. People don't understand. Common sense still does go a long way. It's a saying that surrounds that mostly because, well, it's nice to live carefree and happy and what have you, but what can you do once you're in a hospital setting and you're under the gun and you're being told you don't have so much longer to live? Family can't see you for the last time. Give it some thought, people. You don't have to do what I tell you to do. But I know what, I'm going to take my own advice. So far, so good. Not to say I'm perfect, but I'll be doggone. I daggone sure know the signs of things, and I do exercise that, and I pass it on to those who don't even really need to be have it passed on to, because the people I associate with, they are not the type that are not sensible enough to understand what this is all about, coronavirus or pandemic or COVID-19. And like soldiers, they snap up and buckle down and take into consideration that it does not pay to be selfish. And some of them, their younger people and their family members, family, happen to pay attention and listen to them. Here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I heard our situation isn't as severe as a lot of other people. I don't want to credit them for having all the sense of the world, no. But it seems as if proportionately we don't have a huge influx of people who do not listen. Of course, we will have those who won't and who will suffer and who will spread it. But there are some of us who get the picture, quite a few of us from what I hear. because they say, according to the medical professionals, 40 years of age to approximately down to, I did say approximately, 18 years of age were the bigger carriers of the virus now, not only here, but anywhere across the state. We can't account for across the world. Of course, I don't rely on secondhand information, I'm listening to the professionals. But it has been said at that time, about a week ago, they do not die as much, people who are older, considerably older, than themselves. But on the other hand, there are people who are older who are getting the coronavirus from their younger family members who may be survivors of the corona, who may still come in contact with them, people who do survive it because they are fortunate enough to not have pre-existing conditions. Maybe some people will say it's in their genes not to fall prey to something like that. Maybe they received treatment in time. It is said by the medical researchers, certainly under 40, well, give or take a few years, that the younger infected ones normally die most of the time if they have medical issues like pre-existing conditions such as diabetes type 2 or prior heart disease, maybe obesity. Certain things would cause some of those people in those approximate age ranges, 18 to 40, to die. Surely written in stone. And keep in mind, they can also even spread it to young children. These young children, well, the young children to be supposedly least likely to receive it under normal circumstances. Well, there have been record numbers of people who have been known to have babies coronavirus. And if they have it in their system through breast milk, through the umbilical cords, through the uterus or something of that nature that they were conceiving at the time, if they had babies that were born with it, well, the parents have been known to spread it to them upon conception. A few babies have died, unfortunately, and it has been documented by sources. As a matter of fact, it was recently recorded that 85 new cases of babies have very recently have died under the age of 1 year of age. They didn't say what region necessarily they're from, but it was a hint towards a city somewhere, a county somewhere near Corpus Christi, Texas. They didn't say it was done based on conception by the parent. It didn't say it was based on the possibility of them being grouped or coming from a daycare setting. They didn't say if it was at a certain meeting place that the parents had eventually met up at or anything. They didn't say anything specific yet. But it was said that's what had occurred recently. So since that is a peculiar statistic, 85 babies, in a very recent time frame, I'm quite sure it's going to be studied even further. Many other people who have been criticized for going out seeking fun, and some people were referred to as being selfish in the process. Some of them were deemed as being mental. Time, they would be so destructive during this particular coronavirus season. Some people have actually considered them to be hateful, to infect other people. And there are more of those people out there who are considered not only just selfish, as I mentioned before, but not thinking of anyone other than themselves in the process. I know that I have heard that off solution to working on surviving all this, for those of us who know better, is to try and cooperate with the medical professionals as we sit around and analyze what their approach and their evaluation for the treatment that we see presently and the avoidance of the social gathering and the hope for the cure of the epidemic. Alive, everybody. That's a slogan I've heard before. Because if you don't, we know across the world that had wiped out millions of people. And that should tell you something right there. Approximately 40 million, if I'm not mistaken. Even though there's more than a billion people on the planet. And multi-thousands of people from these different countries, including the United States, fall victim to this stuff every single day. We can still have fun and enjoy life. Our ability to do that will depend on our own personal state of mind and our personal creativity. We have learned how to have outdoor recreations in the yard, in the streets of our neighborhood, without having going indoors. And even more than that, just learning how to stay closer to home, outside the fact that some of us do work. It is a good lifestyle if we go through this whole pandemic through the process of adaptation. Adaptation just means making sure you understand what it takes to get through this whole process, to be able to survive and help the people we love to remain healthy and still have fun and support their mental health through this whole coronavirus thing. Just imagine that there are people in other countries who do not have one-tenth of the ability to have the fun that some people, including in this country, can have, because it may be materials that are lacking. Their economy may be suffering as well in ways that we can't imagine. But if you do desire to fight this so-called coronavirus, keep in mind, not only for their sake, but for the sake of the loved ones, our neighbors, our community, our world, we need to stay cognizant that this is a realistic situation. I know that the president do try to calm us down by telling us it's not quite as severe as it should be, or could be, rather. Or is. But I suggest that you follow your own mind. As my mother used to say, you'll live longer. After all, I do admire those who take all of this in consideration, who look out for their family, who look out for people in their community, who look out for their coworkers, and many more, because they have the will to live. And letting the next person to wear a mask or to stay close to home or to wash your hands with soap and water or to wipe your feet and spray with disinfectant on your feet if you can, or to bump elbows instead of shake hands, or practice social distancing, or even holding off on your intimate libido with your mate. Is that asking too much? Talking about human life or death and not human wants or desires. I have seen selfish people before, but this is reality we're living in. I say this is reality that we're living in because no matter what the statistics are that are recorded, what are relayed, what are presented to our representatives, the statistics that tell you how many people are dying and whatever else that's going on or tested. Keep in mind that testing thing, there's never too much to ask for the federal government to still supply us with testing equipment. If we don't have testing equipment here, then God knows how many people may be dying off. If we have a surplus of it, that's even better. What's wrong with sharing with another country? Right down in South America, I understand they're just dealing with huge amounts of deaths per capita. And if we have a huge excess of testing equipment, the basics, what about a mere thermometer? So when people come to certain sites, they can have that to be able to start with. Share those items. All it does is create the opportunity for the virus to boomerang and come right on back to these states, because in reality, that boomerang effect, it won't just occur down in South America, but it can come right back up here. It can go somewhere else in another country. Being selfish about an item that should not cost more than $20 to be placed in certain sites. There's nothing wrong with understanding what this is really all about. Well, I pray that some of the teachers who have died early during the COVID-19 season, near the end of the month of March, before school had closed here in this area and everywhere else, prayed that God will watch over the teachers who are expected to return to the schools, not by choice, but they are concerned about going back to work with the death rate of the infection state still being what it is for this coming fall season as well as the present. As for the children, the same germs, much less than others, supposedly. Don't think that they are not susceptible to having that to occur, especially those little ones in pre-K, pre-kindergarten, and elementary school, probably, because they are definitely not totally exempt from, God forbid, dying as well. especially if they have pre-existing conditions. My mother, who worked for the school board years ago, had confirmed with me the other day that she can give an account of the children who are known to spread many germs when they came to school. She used to work at the grade school system, and they developed a system of making sure that a child, if they caught something called pink eye, they had to go back home until it has been said that their parents are capable of coming back with a note on the dot. They have not caught the pink eye to the point where it cannot be curable and can come back to school. After all, when they get it, they don't understand the severity of an illness until maybe in a couple or a few days they get to return and they feel better. They have spread it to, unfortunately, some of the teaching staff, the people who are in the room with, because they didn't know they had the child had it. But my mother took her precautions. She's almost a germaphobe. So keep in mind, these little ones are not that responsible in a lot of cases as they learn to go through childhood development from those earlier stages. They don't realize putting a mask on before leaving the house and keeping it on. Some children will have their masks removed by other children sometimes during their playful time, by accident mostly. Some children simply lose their mask accidentally, and so on and so forth. So what can we do? Well, who's going to come up with some solutions? You can't make the children be responsible. You can hopefully create some effective ways to accomplish this without anyone becoming hurt, including the economy. Because after all, they said the economy is suffering, especially here, Israel, and other places that you couldn't even imagine. There are people who are being paid very well out there, school board people, who should become creative enough, if you think you can pull this off, without no one becoming hopefully affected by all of this. But as we approach those fall months, we will see. Teachers have protested school board system, at least I can say here as well, because they fear for their life. They fear for their family's life when they have to return home. So anybody have any solutions out there while they could be on the payroll and reach the households of these children? Well, everybody's child don't have a computer or a cell phone or anything that can make them be able to get their lessons and go on Zoom. Can you mail some lessons to the children? Come on, everybody, especially those high-paid people. Sit around the board room. Spend some time, overtime, and help to effectively create ways in order to make sure these little ones and the teachers and other staff members are not affected totally by all which is going on. One person, whoever that genius was, as far as they're concerned, a genius, came up with, you know, having the children to alternate days. I believe it was here in Philadelphia. They said something about have one half of the children to go Tuesdays and Thursdays, the other half going Mondays and Wednesdays. Now, if they can actually create a way to show that they can help keep everybody safe, and I do mean everybody, I say maybe, but they need to put that plan in motion because the clock is ticking down. The month of August will be here, and there are going to be teachers who feel as though bad enough they don't get paid right for their aid on that outside of people in that field, but to have their lives be subjected. That's another hurdle they have to get through. Speaking of masks, gowns, gloves, and ventilators, etc. Other equipment, the testing equipment. Whatever became of all of those billions and overflowing surpluses of donated equipment that was made like in the form of masks, for example, and gowns by compassionate donors. Not only did we have multi-millions of things donated from people who even volunteered their time and their materials and their children's labors who made those items in this country, but if I'm not mistaken, weren't China, the country, sending multi-millions, something like 40 or 400 million masks maybe a couple of months ago. Now, tell me something. Are they eating those masks? What is it? That's a mere joke, but in reality, if they sent them, I understand France has sent supplies here. And God knows what other countries that didn't give credit who had sent supplies here. And people who had done fundraisers and concert fundraisers and what other types of fundraisers that were able to make sure materials, PPE materials, were donated to the different facilities. Someone suggests that they come up missing mysteriously. Mysteriously, maybe, in other words, some supplies have been stolen out of some medical facilities and hoarded. And there was a time, even the police on the news, they were making certain raids on places that people have stolen materials, kid you not. And in the process, they caused the police department to have to get involved with taking back some of those materials in order to make sure these people out here get what they're supposed to. And I'm sure that China isn't the only country, as I mentioned, or France or the others. Wasn't it a recent time that if I'm not mistaken, General Motors, company called General Motors, and the company called Ford had people, representatives, who took on contracts that created and made ventilators. You know they had to come out by the glue-globs, as the saying goes. In other words, by the masses of ventilator production. Of course, they got a contract from the state. At first, they said, well, they needed these ventilators here in this country. It was a rumor that, well, not necessarily a rumor, but it was said over a viable source over the airways, that ventilators were not needed as massively as people may have thought. Now it appears that they need them again. So what is it, and where are they? Well, just recently, the American Medical Association had pleaded for more masks. I've heard, now this is rumor, I've heard that they're going to be paying people to make masks. whoever it is that came up with that idea, not only pay them, but send the people the supplies, the elastic bands that'll go behind the ears. Send the people the material. Fabric is not that costly. And pay those people to assemble it so we can get the same type of compassion that we had all over this country and then some and beyond to make more masks. You keep in mind, many of these everyday citizens used their own equipment, their own sewing machines, and their own materials from their shoestring budgets just to donate masks and more items when they could exhaust their own things, their own supplies. My gosh, as I mentioned, some of them even recruited their young children. Why can't you get the children a little stipend? By all means, let them know that their efforts will be rewarded. Maybe some of them can learn to be entrepreneurs and help contribute to the revamping of this society and reestablishing this economy. Some of them have gotten praises over the television a little here and there, but will there ever be enough people to be able to sing the praises of the kindness and love of people who are still left in the world? They're not necessarily financial opportunists, you know. But encourage them. Some people say that they are people who have stolen, as I mentioned, some of those materials and supplies. So who's watching these items as they come in? Or are they watching them as they come in? As people are coming throughout the city, states, and hospitals, taking these items that'll keep another person alive. Now, considering the southern states here in the United States, I understand for some peculiar reason that the people who are suffering the most are down south, southern United States of America. For those who have a surplus of items, you can't be merciful enough to get up off some of those items that you have, you know, that are just lingering, collecting dust, collecting mold, and send them to some of those southern medical facilities. But I tell you what, we all seem to have a tendency as human beings to feed into this predatory system that people try to feed us a bunch of hope and what have you for it. But some people would consider this a division of the have and the have not. Now, with that being said, I will continue this transcript and I will continue my added ad-lib state on the state of this pandemic and then some. So, if we can get the call of salvation to be represented by whoever will assign himself, I'm presuming Brother Rob Hudson, we would appreciate it.
Yes, no problem. And real quickly, I'll go ahead and do the call of salvation, and then afterwards I'll do the announcements, and then we'll go ahead and get back to our program. So
with
everything that's been said tonight, you know, there is one thing that does stick out, and that is just, you know, claiming, and when I say claiming, I mean claiming your salvation. And how do you do that? You know, it's real simple and it's real easy. You just simply just, you know, state what is the obvious, which is Father, I've fallen short. I've fallen short on what I thought was right and what I thought that I could do. However, I have fallen and I need to be picked up. I need to be placed off. I need to be picked up and dusted off. I need to be renewed with the one creator, the only creator that we have, which is God. And how do I get to God? I come through Jesus. And when you come through Jesus, that is the one time that you have where you can just, with, you know, just that connection, that you can find God. It's pretty simple. If you have not taken, you know, or taken the words that it takes you to connect to Him, you know, you can just repeat after me. You can say, Father God, I have fallen short of the glory. I have fallen short on many things. But the one thing I will not fall short on is that I am a sinner, and I wish to repent my sins. I wish to renew my life and restore my life through you. And through you, I will be renewed. I will be replaced. When I say replaced, I mean I will be actually replaced. My old life will become my former life, and my new life will flourish. I will take in and take heed to what you have said and to what you have done. And I have appreciated what you've done with your son, which is your only begotten son, who have died on the cross for my sins. And, you know, once you said that, or, you know, any way that you have, you know, in your heart, you know, you're saved. And we just thank you for that. And one thing you can do is you can find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that are nurtured in the word of Christ. If you can't find that, that's why we're here every night broadcasting here on Purpose Camp Network, where you can find a church without walls. You can find that sanctuary right here. And, you know, with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead to the announcements. And I just want to let, you know, everybody know that if you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We'd be glad to honor that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can just, you know, through the glory of God, just, you know, just receive something. Also, we'd like you to, you know, invite you on our Facebook page, which is Purpose Kingdom Network, on Facebook, where you can get just an extra word of inspiration tonight at 10 p.m. So please feel free to join us on Purpose Kingdom Network at Purpose Kingdom on Facebook, where you'll get an extra morning word of inspiration. Tonight, bringing the word is going to be Pastor Toy Daly. So please feel free to invite a friend, or just you can just listen in. And we thank you so much. With God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour it's going to be Let's Talk About It. It's going to be a trio of our hosts. And we hope you feel free to, you know, join in and, you know, also ask your friend to listen to the broadcast, which is going to be at 9 p.m. tomorrow with Let's Talk About It. You guys want God's blessing. It's going to be Reverend Burgess. It's going to be Sister Adrian and Sister James. And we hope you just really enjoy listening to us here at Purpose Camp Network. We hope you just find the time where you can just, you know, sit down and just meditate in the word. We thank you so much. And with that being said, anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can simply type in the host name or show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And with that being said, this is going to be the end of the announcements, and I'm going to turn the program back over to Sister Antonia.
Thank you very much, Brother Rob Hudson. That's the primary engineer and second in charge under Reverend Tyleen Daly, of Purpose Kingdom Network CEO. We appreciate, you know, the prayers, because this country is going to need prayers. The next country, as a matter of fact, the whole world. I wonder if we're doing enough out there, because scientifically, some people are believing that some of the most curable or treatments, rather, for the public are not necessarily being spread among the poor as well, of the people who are the haves, as they would call them. Heard enough of it, and it has been expressed over the airwaves. Just thought I'd make a notation of that. But at the present time, we are in the midst of watching the two candidates who are from the Democratic versus the Republican Party look forward to represent the government office of President of the United States the year 2020. Especially considering the state of dilemma that we're in with this epidemic. We look forward to have a rebounding economy, hopefully in a constructive way. The ability to continue and hopefully help other nations, also planet, should be a priority. We have many more subjects that need to be responsibly addressed besides that. But, you know, talking about what occurs here at home, of course, the economy has taken a big hit. Besides, during this present administration, we dealt with the hurricane devastation, which caused a financial depletion of funds. And there have been other monetary compensations for other causes. Some people refer to it as being excessive, but right now we're seeing how the present situation is taking a toll or direction in that area economically. Let's not forget, we had looters and rioters who inserted themselves among the people who were considered peaceful protesters. And they destroyed businesses, especially in metropolitan cities and in non-metropolitan cities as well across the United States. And that was a poor report by the media consistently, encouraging others, citizens, especially those who have had generations of family who contributed to this economy, they're going to have a challenging job for the next 4 years as we vote on the decisions for the presidency in November 2020. One thing in particular, which goes hand in hand, which actually some of the frailties of the younger people, they're wondering what role are they expected to play. That is the reason why they feel as though marching and protesting should be their platform for being heard, for other reasons as well as their safety, for people who are considered stable enough to deal with policing the United States. Now, incidentally, that was brought up by Bernie Sanders, if I'm not mistaken, as one of his platform issues if he would have won the Democratic ticket in order to be able to compete in this vote for presidency. He addressed something that some people have a tendency to overlook, which is the multi-millions of people, not just younger people, but people in general, but especially younger people at this present time, who fell victim of student loans for whatever reason. And they say that those student loans are the reason why a lot of people, including younger people, cannot go forward. They say because a lot of them hit hard and devastated their ability to be able to come out of their situation, having undertaken some of them, just to be able to live the American dream, had failed them. Bacon was proposing to alleviate the student loan situation, which would have made a lot of younger people not only be able to work towards a goal, but to have found ways to add it towards advancing this economy, who have been interested in advancing this economy. But their dreams have been stifled, and that's one of many reasons they're raising a lot of hell. Hell means hellacious behavior. They're stirring the pot of resentment towards the way the government, they feel, have been addressing that issue amongst others. They feel as though they've been held back. And student loans economy that they could contribute towards so they could be tax-paying citizens like their forefathers and parents have and their former generations over the centuries have. They could have contributed to over hundreds of years of making up for the economy that we're suffering right now. Now, keep in mind, medical reasons have been high on the platform, too. They have been issues suffered through, too, especially the pre-existing conditions, which had been placed on television that had pretty much been a huge issue because of the way it's been held. As a matter of fact, people don't realize fairly older people are not the only people that need these medical things put in place. There are people who are considered young people. I met a student myself. That student, she specifically stated how she didn't know how she was going to be seen. She was a dental student by a medical facility while she was attending college nearby where I live. I suggested to her to go to what they call the public medical facilities. Start with them. I don't even understand why a student can't be seen by a place that actually teaches the medical facilities. If they're feeling really not well or under the weather, as is being said. So consider those things. Now, because right now in limbo, the choice of all of it that's going on, we're going to consider one other particular issue I just want to briefly touch on. The second stimulus, some people are saying they still haven't received the first. Of course, everyone would appreciate the second stimulus, whoever is kind enough to make sure that they know we can afford the ability to pay taxes. We need to be able to afford the basics that we need to live, like little transportation fees, the little stimulus that will turn around and cover the basics of what our kids need, or the basis of what you need in the form of toiletries and things of that nature. For anybody who doesn't spend it wisely, well, that's their fault. But there are many of us who definitely understand that somebody has been listening to us. As we said, we are trying to get through all of this. There are many of us who would like to receive viable employment on a fair level to hopefully recreate an economy that could work again. Consider this, presidential candidates. And we'll also be looking out for the month of August, looking for the feedback on the second stimulus, of course, for the sake of survivability, looking for the feedback on how you would like to address those issues and more. If there's more, believe me, I will bring it from my lips to your ears, because after all, that's why we have a mouth. And we have the Constitution that protects our ability to reasonably relay information for the needs of the country and for the people. God bless you all, and I hope you all have a wonderful month. Look forward to hearing from you again on the third Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Provisions by Antonia Bass, on the wonderful network of Purpose Kingdom Network. And everybody hang in there. Don't be stubborn. Work with each other. Life is not a great big party until you do everything right and line up your duckies, as the saying goes. And remember, when you do things, try to work. Hey, Governor Cuomo, I heard that you're up here dealing with seeing a huge turnout of a huge party. Well, all I have to say is, well, I heard they had people laying in the hallways because they don't even have enough intensive care units in the hospital to take them all in. Keep an eye on the record number of people that probably were a result of all of that. Bless you all, and thank you very much. Good night.
Jesus led. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose. He saved me.